happiness is best predicted by the breadth and depth of one's social connections. We need relationships. Here's the point. With solid, supportive relationships in place, you and I can go far.
I'm Russ Cox, one of the pastors of New Hope Community Church. I want to thank you for downloading this message. I also invite you to download the accompanying message outline so that you can follow along and take notes. You can download the message at newhopeeastlake.org or download our New Hope app on your mobile device. On the app or the website, you'll find previous messages. We hope this message provides you with inspiration for developing a relationship with God.
Well, good morning, church family. How are you today? Awesome. You know, I don't think I do a very good job of helping you understand the difference that our church is making in our community. We are committed to making Chula Vista, California, one of the greatest places on this earth to live. There's so many things that we're doing involved in our community you don't have any idea about, but you need to know. If you've been at our church any length of time, you know that twice a year we mobilize our entire church on a Sunday afternoon, and we do what we call compassion in action. In the spring, in fact, this is coming up the last, you can put this on your calendar, the last Sunday of April, we're going to be going out to about 15 different public schools in our area and doing projects. This is for the whole family. Even children can help. What a great way to teach our kids to give back to our community. In the fall, we do work with nonprofits, specifically South Bay Community Services, the Boys and Girls Club of Chula Vista, doing projects. But also, what you don't know is that now, every month, there's one or two smaller projects going on. There's calendars that are up around and so forth, but you want to make yourself aware of those projects, because some of those you would say, hey, I'd like to be involved with that, and we need you and would love to have you. Small groups. Every year we ask you to do two community service projects a year. I would ask you to consider looking at these monthly projects and saying, why don't we join in with what the church is doing? A couple of groups come and help with that. It would be absolutely awesome. Yesterday we had one of these projects. We had about eight people that went down to the Boys and Girls Club here in Chula Vista on Oleander. It's kind of, nobody sees this, kind of been kind of forgotten place. Needs a lot of help, a lot of work. And we were there yesterday trying to rebuild a skate ramp. And so we're building the frame for this skate ramp. Now, I should correct this by saying there were a couple of people that really knew what they were doing. They were our leaders, and there were people like me who were flunkies saying, I've at least got two hands and legs. I'll do whatever you need me to do. So we had our leaders there, and they were measuring boards, and we were doing some cutting and stuff like that. Well, we didn't know what tools to bring. And we realized once we got there, we were told, we thought they would have most everything there, all the tools needed. They had recently had all their tools stolen from the site. Multiple thousand dollars of equipment and tools stolen. So fortunately, two or three of the people that came on the project had brought some stuff. Don Hunter was one of them. He brought the most stuff. But Don had to leave about 2 hours into the project. And so he said, whatever tools you're using, keep those, and I'll take the rest with me. And so about 15 minutes after he's left, all of a sudden we go, where's the framing square? You know, to make sure you cut the line straight. And Don took that. So you're making do with whatever you got type of thing on that. Just a short time after that, we were putting this frame together, and it was 2x6 boards. So these are big boards, you know, type of thing. And there are two places on each side of the frame. We had to put double boards to reinforce it. Well, to get the screws through, we didn't have long enough screws for that. So we had to drill a hole in, and then you needed an extension on the drill to get the screw all the way into the boards you needed it to. Where's our extension? Don took that. A little bit later, one of the power drills, the battery's going dead. Where's the recharger? We don't have that. Well, we got the project done, but here's the principle and here's the point. If you haven't already done so, take out your message outline. Here's the first fill in the blank, and it relates exactly to what would just happen to us yesterday. Here it is right here. The success or failure of your life is largely determined by the equipment you use. Have you learned that in projects? Having the right tools makes all the difference in the world. I mean, you know, the right tools, things go so much easier in life on that. We learned that the last way. Just think of it this way. You would not try to fight a forest fire with a squirt gun. You would not try to fly across the Pacific Ocean in a hang glider. You would not try to hit a baseball without a baseball bat. Those are, you know, yes, the right equipment is so, so important. Fortunately for us, God has provided the equipment that you and I need to make it through life. He has provided that for us. In this message series we're on now, we have been talking about hope. and how hope is absolutely the one indispensable element that every one of us need every day of our lives. We need hope. And we've learned that hope is something that you can actually learn. Seven factors that we've been looking at, that if you build these seven factors into your life, it will raise the level of hope in your life, which is so desperately, desperately needed. If you haven't been with us, here's some of the things that we've talked about, these seven factors to raise our hope level. We talked about recharging your batteries, raising our expectations, refocusing on our future, playing to our strengths. Today, we're going to be looking at refusing to go at it alone. And if you've missed any of the messages prior to this, you say, I'd like to learn a little bit more about that. You can go online to our website and you can hear the message. You can download the outline. You can go to our app. We actually have a New Hope app. You can go to the app store. Just type in New Hope Chula Vista and it'll pop right up. You can see the message outlines, hear the messages, all that through our app as well. So that's there for you. Well, this morning, and here's the next fill in the blank on your message outline. This morning, we're going to be looking at what may be the most overlooked essential equipment needed, and it's this: connected relationships. Connected relationships. A world expert on stress, speaking at a national convention in Chicago, Illinois, talking about stress, said some very interesting things. She said, most people want to try to get rid of stress. And she said this, most people don't understand stress. Here's a couple of fill in the blanks that came from her talk. She said, first of all, a stress-free life is not an option. But how many of us, that's what we long for. If I only had a stress-free life. You know what she said? If you have a stress-free life, here's what's true of you. You're no longer breathing on planet Earth. You're dead, okay? All right, you want a stress-free life? And when you check out of planet Earth, you'll finally get your wish, okay, on that. Here's another thing she said. There is good stress or healthy stress, and there's negative or destructive or bad or destructive stress as well. So there's different kinds of stress. And then she made this statement, which is something I want us to think about for a little bit this morning. Healthy stress requires three elements to be in equal balance. Three elements to be in equal balance. They are control, challenge, and support. Control, challenge, and support. And I have a diagram here for you that will help us kind of focus on these as we talk about them just for a moment. She made the statement that these three things together will determine whether stress is ascending or descending in your life, in your various relationships. We look at this and we would say, now everyone needs controls in certain areas of your life. You need financial controls, don't you, in your life? We call that a budget. And you need to stick to it or your finances are in chaos. We need a schedule control. We need discipline control, focus control, or we just end up messed up, stressed out type of a thing. Challenges are also an essential part. If you're not challenged, if you're not being stretched, you are not staying the same. You're actually shrinking in life. Look at this picture. These are two Soviet cosmonauts who back in 1982 broke a world record for endurance in space. They stayed in space at the time, a world record, 211 consecutive days. Now today we have the space station, people stay up a lot longer than that, but that was a big deal back in 1982. When the cosmonauts came back to Earth, the Soviet Union planned with big fanfare, parade, TV's there, this whole big thing. When they opened up the capsule to get these guys out, they couldn't come out. They couldn't walk. They had to literally take them out by their seats because, you see, for 211 days, they had lived in zero gravity, no resistance. Float around if you're not tied down in your seat. No resistance whatsoever, no pressure against them. And so their muscles had atrophied. They had shrunk. The heart was no longer used to forcing blood throughout the whole body with the pressure that it needed to then be able to walk. So their heart had to be kind of retrained, I guess, if you would. It took them weeks before they could even walk again. The Soviets, realizing this, they developed this space suit for future use. It's called a penguin suit. And it looks like it's got these rubber bands all over, these elastic stretch all over this, so that whenever you would take any move, there's going to be pressure put against your body to work your body out so your muscles wouldn't atrophy on that type of a thing. Now, some of us would, in our minds, here's what we think. I would love a zero gravity life, that there's no pressure, there's no resistance, there's no stress. I would love that.
You might love it in your mind, but in reality, let me tell you something. You don't want it, and God knows you don't want it or need it. God knows better. God knows better. He knows that we need some resistance in our life. We need some challenges in our life. Let me just put it to you this way. The easier your life is, spiritually speaking, the weaker your spiritual muscles will be. You need some resistance. You need some pressure in your life, spiritually speaking, for your muscles to grow and to develop, spiritually speaking. So God knows better. He knows we need some resistance in our life. Now, if we go back to the diagram, thanks, David, on that, we can see the other element that's needed is support. We have to build a support base. These things have to be in balance in our life, and that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, is developing that support base. Are these three areas in balance in each of in our lives? Now, looking at that, probably most of us would say this: I have enough controls in my life, whether I, you know, self-imposed them or they were imposed on me by work or government or whoever. I have enough control. Most of us would say I've got enough challenges to last a lifetime. Okay, I don't necessarily need any more of those. In fact, most of us would probably phrase it this way: I have more challenges than I need, and I have more controls than I want in my life. But the lifelong battle that we face, and here's the next fill in the blank on your message outline, our lifelong battle is to develop adequate amounts of support. Why? To stay encouraged in life. To stay encouraged in life, and we put in there in leadership. Now, if some of you are saying, I'm not a leader, you are a leader in something, I guarantee you. It may be as being a parent, it may be in a club, it may be with your group of friends, it may be at work, whatever, but you, I guarantee you, in some area of life, you are a leader, and so we need some support to stay encouraged throughout our lives. So how do I build that? How do I begin to build this support in my life to sustain me with the energy that I need? Here's a question you and I need to ask this morning. Am I close to anyone? We're talking about building support, friendships. Am I even close to anyone? It's a great question to ask. Back in the mid-1960s, one of the major motion picture producers in America were Warner Brothers. And most of us have seen the credits, you know, Warner Brothers Pictures and so forth. Well, back in the mid-1960s, the last of the brothers who had joined together to form Warner Brothers Pictures sold his stock out. His name was Jack Warner. He sold his stock out, remaining stock, for $32 million at the time. $32 million today, that'd be equivalent to about $500 million. A pretty penny, to say the least, on that. But Jack Warner said that after he had sold all his shares in Warner Brothers Pictures and so forth, he said he was really disappointed that no one showed up for his tennis parties at his house anymore. Nobody came by. And a friend who knew him said this. He said, you know, Jack, you're just so alone in this world. And he made this statement. He said, if you have power, you can't have friends. This is a man who spent 4 decades in the entertainment business and had built a reputation for an incredibly successful career, but he was also known for being very ruthless. He was a guy who once maneuvered in secret to oust his own brothers from their own company. When one of his brothers found out, his brother Harry, he never spoke to Jack again in the rest of his life. This was a man who had multiple marriages. In each of his marriages, he was unfaithful to his wife. When his son from his first wife criticized Jack's new wife, who he was also having an affair on, Jack never spoke to his son again. He even, not only did he renounce this son, he even wrote him out of his autobiography. Took him out of his autobiography. When Jack Warner died, so few people attended his memorial service that the rabbi who was performing the service took it out of the temple and put it in a small chapel upstairs in their building. He is a classic example of a man who died rich, yet in abject poverty. A man who made it financially in this world, but relationally was absolutely bankrupt. And there are many people today who are following this same example. Why? Is it possible that we really don't understand that a lack of hope inevitably causes our relationships to suffer? And our hope begins to fade without those supportive relationships that we need in order for our hope to survive. So we need friendships that give us support. On your message outline, you're going to see a quote from a gentleman by the name of Robert Putnam. This was a man who wrote a landmark book on social relationships in our country. Here's a quote from that book.
The single most common finding from a half a century's research on the correlates of life satisfaction, not only in the United States but around the world, is this. So he's going to say, from all their studies, all their findings, here's how you can give an indication whether you are going to have a happy life. Here it is. That happiness is best predicted by the breadth and depth of one's social connections. Our relationships. They are that important, a leading factor in determining whether you're going to have a happy life or not. A great example of his research would be Winston Churchill, the great prime minister of Great Britain during World War II. This is a very interesting man, but a man who was deeply connected with people on all kinds of levels. He had a great marriage relationship with his wife. He had great relationships with his children as they grew up, great relationships with them, lots of close friends, lots of very good, successful relationships at work as well. So that was great. But he was a man who had terrible health habits. An absolute train wreck, if you would. Constantly smoked cigars, drank way too much, unhealthy diet, bizarre sleep habits. He never worked out. The guy lived to be 90 years old. He lived to be 90 years old. One time, one of his doctors asked him, he said, "Do you ever exercise?" Listen to his reply. This is a quote from Winston Churchill. "I get all the exercise I need being pallbearers for my friends who run and do exercise." Come on. I mean, this is crazy type of thing. Winston Churchill would certainly agree with another statement from Putnam's book. Here it is right here. It's on your outline again. As a rough rule of thumb, if you belong to no groups, but you decide to join one, you've cut your risk of dying in the next year in half. That is the power, that is the need of meaningful relationships that we each have in our lives. Helen Keller, just the incredible woman, born blind, mute as well, overcame so much in her life, was the first woman ever. She was the first person, first deaf and mute person ever, not just a woman, first person ever to get a BA from college on that. Just an incredible person. Here's what she said. "Walking with a friend in the dark is better than walking alone in the light." We need relationships. And in the Bible, we see example after example of godly people who regularly sought the support of others. In Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10, this is a wisdom saying. The wisdom writer says this, "Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person fails, the other can reach out and help." But look at this sentence. But someone who falls alone is in what? Real trouble. Real trouble. One of the most beautiful examples of friendship in the Bible is an example of Jonathan and David. We refer to him later as King David. Their story is found in the Old Testament portion of the Bible. What makes their friendship so unique is this. Jonathan was the oldest son of the king of the nation of Israel. His father's name was Saul, the first king of Israel. As the oldest son, he was in line to succeed his father, be the next king of the nation of Israel. But God, because of his father being a very evil, not a good king, didn't really lead the people closer to God, God had decided that David, from a common family, just a shepherd boy, would be the next king. So you would think that here's Jonathan in line to be the king. Here's this other guy that God says wants to be the king, that they would be mortal enemies, right? They were best friends. They were absolute best friends. And here's what the Bible says about their relationship. 1 Samuel 18:3, it says, "Then Jonathan and David made a covenant." They made an agreement because he loved him as he loved his own soul. That's how tight, how close they were. They made this pact to be these lifelong friends to each other, true friends. And we see a verse that relates to their friendship just several chapters later, 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 16. It says, "And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh, and he helped him find strength in God." Now, you just read that sentence, you go like, well, that's cool. You know, he went down someplace and he helped this guy. But when you understand the background of the verse, Horesh was a dense forest about 25 miles south of Jerusalem. Well, what was David doing there? He was hiding from Jonathan's father, Saul, who was seeking him out to kill him so his son could be the king. And what does Jonathan do? He leaves the capital city. He goes 25 miles down to this forest to find David on that. How long did it take? Now, you and I can, you know, get in our car, drive 25 miles in 30 minutes. It's no big deal with our interstates. No interstates there, no cars, no vehicles. He walked. How long did it take him to walk the 25 miles in that day and time? 2 days, 3 days?
How many of us have friends that would even drive 25 miles today, much less walk 2 or 3 days to come? And what did he do? He came to help him find strength in God. That's a friend. That is a friend. That's the kind of friend that we need. So we're going to be looking at the best investment you'll ever make. The best investment you'll ever make. Some of you are thinking, stock tip? No, it's not a stock tip. Here it is. Next fill in the blank. Friendship is the best investment you and I will ever make. Research shows that if you make the investment in friendship, it will increase your lifespan. You will benefit health-wise from this. Your marriage will benefit. Your ability to succeed in the marketplace, whatever it may be, will increase as well. But without close friends, our HQ quotient, our hope quotient, it begins to plunge, and it makes it nearly impossible for you and I to reach our potential on that. There was a Fortune 500 CEO. He and his wife were traveling in their car. They stopped to get gas. The wife went into the little convenience mark, whatever, to pay for the gas. And as the man looked and he saw his wife having a very animated conversation with the clerk inside the convenience store, the servant station attendant there. It wasn't an ugly conversation. You could tell it was a very pleasant type conversation. So she got back in the car. He said, "Honey, who are you talking to?" And she said, "You won't believe it. That was one of my old boyfriends." And she hadn't seen him in years. She said, "That's just absolutely incredible." And here's what the husband said. He smiled and he said this, "Man, I bet you're glad you married me, a Fortune 500 CEO, instead of a service station attendant." She paused, and then here's what she said. "No, that's not exactly what I was thinking at all. I was thinking you're fortunate that I married you, or he'd be the Fortune 500 CEO and you'd be the gas station attendant." Ladies, did you like that? I thought you would. I thought you would. Here's the point. With solid, supportive relationships in place, you and I can go far. We can go far. Most of us have jumped on a trampoline. I will not ask you how many of you have had accidents on trampolines, but most of us have jumped on a trampoline. I'm going to show you a little video clip real quick. And there's three teenage boys jumping on a trampoline. One of the guys jumping. I want you to notice, you got to watch carefully what his other two friends do as he's jumping. Check out this video. Had to watch carefully, but they were synchronizing their jumps. When the one kid who was bouncing, when he would come down, his two friends at the same time, they would jump, and when they did that, it added extra spring and shot that kid up far higher than he would ever go. If I showed the whole video, you'd see him jumping, and he barely reached the top of the screen. When his kids jumped and his friends jumped on that, they propelled him to go higher than he could ever go on his own. There's a point to that. Look on your message outline. Here's the fill in the blank. You can go a lot higher by doing life with somebody else. You can go a lot higher in life by doing life with somebody else. Proverbs 13:20, the wisdom writer tells us this. In fact, let's read this verse together. It's on the screen. Let's read it out loud together. Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Who we relate to makes a difference, who our friends are. On your outline, you're going to see a quote from Larry Crabb. First of all, let me point out, I misspelled Larry Crabb's name. It's C-R-A-B-B, it's two B's, not like a crab like you find at the ocean type of thing. But this is a great Christian counselor, psychologist, written numerous books, and he's written a book on relationships called Connecting. Look at this quote from him.
He said the core battle in everyone's life is to relate well to God. I would agree with that, and I think we would. Yeah, to relate, that's our biggest battle, relate well to God. What does that look like? To worship Him, enjoy Him, experience His presence, hear His voice, trust Him in everything, always call Him good, obey every command, even the hard ones, and hope in Him when He seems to disappear. Now, we just stop right there and go like, yes. Yes, that's our challenge as Christians. Yes, to worship God, enjoy Him. Yes, that's it. But then notice Larry Krebs' next sentence. That's the battle the community of God is called to enter in each other's lives. Church family, that's what we're to do for each other. That's what we're to do for each other. We're called to rally around each other, to help each other learn to relate well to God. In worship, to enjoy Him, to experience His presence, hear His voice, all those things. That's what we as a community of believers are called to do. Why is that so important? Look at the next fill-in. Because none of us can win this battle alone. None of us can win this battle called life alone. In fact, look at the next part of the fill-in, and God did not design us to win alone. God designed us to be in relationship with other people, so we need others, we need a community, but we need other believers, other Christians in our life who are waging the same war as we are. I'm not just talking about friends in general. I'm talking about we also need Christian believers, friends in our lives who are battling the same war as we are. We need other believers in our lives. There was a businessman who coined this phrase, dream a dream and build a team. Dream a dream and build a team. Dream a dream of having a successful career and build a team around you to help you achieve that. Dream a dream of financial independence and build a team around you. Dream a dream of a better life and build a team around you to achieve it. Dream a dream of walking closely with Jesus Christ all your days and build a team around you to help you accomplish it. Why? Because look at this fill-in. A dream without a team is merely a wish. And although we may wish upon a star, most of those wishes never come true. But build a dream with a team, and your chance of seeing those dreams come true are greatly enhanced. So there's some relationships we all need. So we're going to look at five relationships that we all need in our lives. We need to understand that our friends and our colleagues are not created equal, that there's different types of relationships that help us in various ways. And surprisingly, as we talk about a couple of these relationships, they don't even have to be relationships that are done in person. They can actually come through books. They can come through videos and various things. Here's a picture of a gentleman that some of you may have run across in your life. This is a motivational speaker. You may have heard him at some business event. His name is Charlie Jones. He wrote a book. He was a very successful businessman, motivational speaker, traveled all around the world. He passed away just a few years ago, but he wrote a book that he's most known for called Life is Tremendous. So his nickname is Charlie Tremendous Jones type. That's his name. But he made a very, very interesting statement. This was a man who was a very dedicated Christian. One of his life goals was to help people learn to read. That was a life goal, and he helped thousands and thousands and thousands of people learn to read and get something from that. But here's a quote. It's on your message outline, and it's very profound. He says this, you are the same today as you will be in 5 years except for two things. Two things. Here they are. The books that you read and the people that you meet. There's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of truth in that. 5 years from right now, you're going to be basically the same person you are today except for the books that you read and then the people especially that you need. We need all the help we can get in becoming who God wants us to be. So let's look at these five different types of relationships we need. The first one is called vision casters. We need vision casters in our life. Vision casters in our life. Ralph Waldo Emerson, the great writer, said this. He said, our chief want in life is somebody who shall make us do what we can. Someone who will make us do what we can. In other words, we all need someone who will give us a vision for who we can be that is far, far more than anything we ourselves ever just envision for ourselves. We need those vision casters in our life. The feeling goes like this. We need people who stretch our vision and help us to dream bigger dreams. We need that in our lives. This past Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we had four of our staff members in the Palm Desert area attending a conference. They came back, and I've already just spoken to a couple just in passing, very excited about what they've learned. This coming Thursday and Friday. Four other of our staff members, I will be one of those who will be going to Irvine for a conference. Every time I go to a conference like that, I always walk away with something from someone that helps me to kind of expand either a vision type of thing or helps me to see or think differently about another piece of ministry here at New Hope. We need those kind of people in our lives. I am actually, for the sake of time, I'm going to skip that next picture. I'm going to skip that on that. I'm just going to read you this quote from a lady named Henrietta Mears. Henrietta Mears, who was a Christian lady that passed away 50 years ago, but her influence continues on. She did great things for the kingdom of God. And here's what she said when it came to our vision. She says, "There is no magic in small plans." No magic in small plans. When I consider my ministry, I think of the world. Anything less than that would not be worthy of Christ nor of His will for my life. The wisdom writer in Proverbs 29:18 put it very succinctly, where there is no vision, the people perish. We need vision casters in our life to help us see a bigger future than we see just in and of ourselves. Second of all, we need what we might call soul sharpeners. Soul sharpeners. Again, looking at the wisdom writings in Proverbs 27:17, the wisdom writer gives us these words: "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." There are some people who turn you off spiritually. There are some people who turn you on spiritually. You need to hang around those who turn you on spiritually, so to speak. Soul sharpeners are those who help you develop spiritually, daring you to be all that you can become, never letting you settle just for what is second best. But so often we let our insecurities in our life prevent even sometimes these soul sharpeners in our lives. We allow our insecurities to prevent us from moving forward. And we usually do it with this little phrase, "Oh, I could never do that. Oh, I couldn't do that." And we just kind of cut ourselves off from going forward with what God wants us to do, far bigger than what we could ever imagine. The first soul sharpener I ever had in my life was a guy named Gene Smith. I became a Christian just before my senior year of high school. This guy named Gene Smith, I had known him a long time. He was my baseball coach, my first baseball coach when I was 5 years old. So I had known him for about 13 years. But Gene Smith became a Christian when he was in his late 20s, early 30s. He didn't have a college degree, but he felt God wanted to use him in Christian work. He went to a little Bible school for a couple of years. He came back, and he, in the South, is what we would call an evangelist. He would go to church, and he would do revivals. He'd stay there about a week, teach, speak, and all that kind of stuff. And when he wasn't doing that, because he was just getting his career off the ground when I became a Christian, and he was the youth director at the church that I was attending when he wasn't traveling. And for whatever reason, and as I was working on this message, I thought, I never asked him why. For some reason, though, he just came to me and says, "Russ, I'm going to go speak at this church tonight. I want you to go with me, and I want you to share how you became a Christian." My first thought when he asked me is, I can't do that. "No, I can't." He said, "Yeah, you can. Come go with me." And I started traveling with him. And I would do that. And then he'd say, "You know, at this meeting, we're going to do a youth event after the service is over. I want you to plan the youth event." I can't do that. "Yeah, you can. Plan it, and let's do it." I traveled with him for 2 summers, worked for him for 2 summers, traveled all over the Southeast, but mostly what we did, we ran large youth camps. 200-300 kids at a time every week would come. He says, "You're in charge of running the youth camps." "I can't do that." "Yeah, you can. Do it." He's the one that first got me speaking in churches. People at churches would call him and say, "Hey, can you know some, recommend somebody?" "Yeah, Russ can do that. Ask Russ to do it." I can't do that. I can't go speaking. What? Come on. He got me my first job at a church. Church that outside of Tuscaloosa where I was attending university. They were looking for a youth. "You need to call Russ. Russ will do that." I took my first church job because this guy saw something and he says, "Yeah, you can do this." He was a soul sharpener in my life. But here's the thing. Look at this fill in the blank. If we let insecurities drive us away from tough circumstances, we'll never grow. We'll never grow because every one of those steps in my mind, I was saying, "I can't do that. I can't do that." No, I can't do that. A third type of person we need in our life, not only vision casters, soul sharpeners, we need models and mentors. Models and mentors. Look at this quote. I love this quote from Oliver Goldsmith. Here's what he said. "People seldom improve when they have no model but themselves to copy after." Have you ever looked at some people and you look at their relationships and they're a train wreck? I mean, just a disaster. And you look at their marriage and go like, "Man, that is... This terrible. You look at how their parenting skills and go, oh, they're awful type of, oh, wow. Do you know why they're like that? Because they never had a good model, probably, to follow. You see, do you know why you parent the way you parent today? Do you know why you relate to your spouse the way you relate to him? Primarily because that's how you saw your mom and dad relate to each other. And that's how they raised you. That's the only model many of us have ever had is our parents. And if you never get another model, guess what? You're going to do the only thing you know to do. How many of you, don't answer this out loud. How many of you said when you were growing up, I'll never be like my parents? Yeah. And how many of you, later on, family friend came, said to you, you know, you're just like your mom. You're just like your dad. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Why? That's the model you had for all those years. And if you'd never get a different model, how do you know do anything different? Look at what the scripture says. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul, the great missionary, probably the greatest Christian I believe who ever lived outside of Jesus. Paul said this, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Could we say that to other people? Hey, you want to know what the Christian, just follow me. Whoa. Look at what he said. He's writing a letter to the Christians at Philippi, the ancient Mediterranean city. He said, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or even seen in me, put it into practice. Man, that's a model. That's a mentor. Oswald Chambers, some of you have read his classic devotional book, My Utmost for His Highest. Great, great Christian leader. Here's what he said. The way we grow in holiness is to be around people more holy than ourselves. I have been so blessed in my life to be around numerous mentors who've invested in my life. Some in a very formal way, some in an informal way. I've already mentioned to you Gene Smith. Wallace Russell was the first pastor I ever served under as a college sophomore, as a youth pastor. And I remember one Saturday morning being at the church, and I knocked on his door. It was closed, his office door, and he opened his door. He was just sobbing. And my first thought was, what's wrong, Brother Russell? And then before I could even say anything, I knew why he was crying. He'd been praying. I interrupted his prayer time. He was praying for the church, his people. Rick Warren, the great pastor of Saddleback Church in Orange County. Andy Stanley, the great pastor of North Point Church in the greater Atlanta metro area. Great, great, great Christian teachers, pastors of our generation, our day and time. I don't know these guys personally, but boy, have I been blessed by reading their books, listening to them, seeing them at conferences. They've had an incredible impact on my life. Larry Osborne, the great pastor at North Coast Church up in Vista. I'm telling some of you this. Every 5 weeks, I get to go up with about 15 or 20 other senior pastors and for 3 hours just sit with this man, wisest man I've ever met in my life. And he just says, okay, what's going on? What do you want to talk about? And for 3 hours, we just talk and listen. I write as fast as I can. I have been so blessed by models and mentors. We need these people in our lives. Number four, fourth type of person we need are heart healers. Heart healers. This quote from Dr. Paul Eternier is written to men, but it relates to every single one of us here today. Here it is. It is impossible to overemphasize the immense need men have to really be listened to be taken seriously, to be understood. No one can develop freely in this world and find a full life without feeling understood by at least one person. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 17, back to Jonathan and David. It says, and Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath out of love for him because he loved him as he loved himself. They were heart healers for each other. And Jonathan wanted David to reaffirm his oath because he wanted him to know, listen, I know my dad's trying to kill you, and I know that God has appointed you to be where I'm supposed to be, but that doesn't matter. You're my friend, and I want you to know I'm here for you. I want you to be sure that you're here for me. The conditions of our hearts is one of life's most determining factors, because our hearts, along the way, we will suffer broken hearts. We will suffer cynical hearts. We will suffer hard hearts. We will have times of despair and discouragement. Even people of great hope go through these times, but people of hope bring into their lives heart healers, a circle of friends that they know will be there when these difficult times come, and they realize they will be better in better emotional shape because of the heart healers in their lives. And finally, a fifth type of relationship we need to have in our life is tail kickers. Tail kickers. These are people who love us enough to tell us the truth even when it hurts. Who love us enough to tell us the truth even when it hurts. Proverbs 26:7. The wisdom writer gives us these wise words. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. And then this quote. And by the way, you can recognize the tail-kicking people in your life by the boot print they leave on your behind, okay? You can just recognize them, but it's done in love because they love you. I love this quote from Oscar Wilde. True friends stab you in the front. Eye to eye. My best tail-kicker, my lovely wife, Janie. You don't clap for that. Do you want to see the footprints? For 36 years, she's been kicking my tail. And there are times that I will go home to my lovely wife and I need her emotional support and comfort as I tell her about some of you mean, evil people in this church, what you've been doing to me. Terrible, just terrible. And I am looking for that emotional, warm support from her, like, honey, I have those big, she's just going to come up there and just slap some of you mean, evil people, you know. And she will look at me and she will listen for a while, and then she'll look at me and she'll say, what are you going to do about that? What? What kind of supportive wife is that? I need somebody to say, yeah, those are mean, evil people, Russ. I can't believe they did. No, no. What are you going to do about that? Well, as soon as you take your foot from behind my behind, I'll go out and I guess I'll do something then, won't I? We need people in our lives who are tail kickers, who will tell us the truth in love. Look at this fill in the blank. If the task of some people is to comfort the afflicted, then the task of tail kickers is to afflict the comfortable. And we need these people in our lives. God uses tail kickers in our lives to move us forward, to stay faithful, to get after it. Last few fill in the blanks. Tail kickers challenge us to stop settling and to keep getting back up and keep going for it. Tail kickers are not so much sympathy givers, but they listen, they restore perspective, they restore confidence, and they ask this question. Here's the key question. It's a fill-in. How would a great leader or a great person handle this? What you going to do? What you going to do? Sometimes it seems the only thing that can get our hopes up after they have been dashed is a friend. Young boy who was only 15 years of age, was not feeling well, went to the doctor, and then he got the dreaded news. Doctor said to him, I'm very sorry to tell you this, but you have cancer. 15 years old. You've got cancer. He said, that's the bad news. The good news is it's operable. And the chances of survival, long-term prognosis is excellent, but you'll need surgery, you're going to need chemo and radiation following that. The process is going to make your hair fall out, it'll grow back, but that's what we got to do. And so he had to drop out of school because of all the things that he was going through on that. Teachers sent him his homework and that kind of thing. But after about 6 months from the time they started and so forth, he finished his treatment, he went to the doctor, and the doctor gave him a clean bill of health and said, you can go back to school tomorrow. And on the way home, his mom thought he would really be happy about that, but he was not happy at all. And she said, honey, I thought you'd be excited. You get to go back to school and see your friends. And he said, Mom, I'm bald. They're going to make fun of me. And the mom said, we can get you a toupee. Don't you just love mothers? And she said, Mom, that'll make it worse. They'll take it off my head and throw it around like a frisbee. No, ain't no, Mom. How about a hat? Mom, come on. And his kind of the further they drove away and got closer home, and said, not the more depressed he was. And finally, he said to his mom as they got close to home, maybe I just wonder if I should take the rest of the school year off. There's only a few more months left. Maybe they can just keep sending me my homework. He said, I don't want to see anybody. I don't want my friends to see me like this. I'm embarrassed. Pulled into the driveway, walk into the house, got the light switch on. 70 of his friends yelled, "Surprise." Every boy in the group had their head shaved. That is the power of friendships and relationships. We need those in our lives. Last two, fill in the blanks. Build a base of support. Not only will you be better, but you will feel better. Some people say, I just can't find friends. Folks, there is no tree of friends that you someday stumble upon. There's no tree of friends. Look at the last one on the blank. Remember this. Friendships are not found. They are built. Friendships are built. Today's a great day to start doing something to build some friendships in your life. You will be glad you did. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the friendship that you give to us through Jesus Christ. Amazing, amazing God, that you call us your friends because of Jesus. We thank you for that. But we also thank you for the incredible gift of human friendships, and we realize and acknowledge we need those friendships in our life. God, we help each one of us as we examine our own lives. Are those friends there? Are they in place? And if not, and even if they are, God, help us to build or continue to build those relationships so that we could be the type of friend that our friends need, as well as they could be those friends to us in these various areas that we talked about. Father, work in our lives through these people so that you can draw out from us everything you want, that we would be the men and women you've created us to be. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
I hope you found this message meaningful to your life. If you're ever in the San Diego area, I want to personally invite you to visit New Hope Community Church, located in the East Lake community of Chula Vista. I also invite you to follow us online on Twitter or Facebook. For more information about our church, visit our website at newhopeeastlake.org. Thanks again for listening.